Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view that cross where Jesus died for me. And how marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fall and saw my need.
My wife's playing tonight, and these folks are praying. I thought about tonight we were eating supper, sitting there eating supper, and I saw that little boy that his mama's going to the RU home. And you know, the mama's trying to get her life back together now. But I saw the preacher having a good time with that little boy. And I saw that boy grinning from ear to ear with two teeth missing in the front. But I saw that little boy as preacher picked him up and put his arms around him. And I said, and a thought came to my heart, my mind, preacher, the very moment I saw that. That's what God did for me. That's what God did for me. He took me from a broken world, a messed up world. And my father reached his arms around me and took me in and said, I love you, son, just like you're my own son. And you know what? That we've got so much to be thankful for tonight. We've got a lot to praise God about tonight. I Are you thinking about it? Are you thinking about it tonight, what God did for you? Amen. Boy, God's been good, hasn't He? Well, that was a good song to start it off with. These girls singing tonight, God's been good. And then Josh got up here and sang God's Amazing Grace. Because it's all because of God's amazing grace that we have what we have tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. And all God wants, listen, all God wants is what you got. It may be broken. It may not be much tonight. You know what I'm saying? It might be just that little boy. That little boy. Faith tonight. It might be that little boy that gave his few fishes and little 5-bar loaves of bread. Are y'all with me tonight? He just gave what he had. Amen. He gave what he had. All God wants is what you got. Everything you got. Just give it to God. You say, I don't have much. God will take it. God will take it. My life has been a mess and it's broken. There's not much left of it. God will take it. Amen. My wife's going to sing a song tonight, preacher, that I love this song. I love this song tonight. And it, you're right. It goes along with my sermon. Amen. But I told her to sing it. She didn't tell me what to preach. Amen. 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 Now she can preach. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to let her sing tonight. Honey, sing that song tonight.
A multitude was gathered on a hill near Galilee to hear the words of Jesus and His miracles to see. But as the day wore on, His disciples came to say, there's not enough to feed them, Lord, should we send them away? And from a little boy whose basket of 5 barley loaves of bread and with 2 fish, 5,000 hungry people would be fed. Lord, here's my basket. It's not much, I know, but take it and use it. Please don't refuse it. Maybe it will grow. Although I could keep it, I'll give it to you. So Lord, here's my basket. You don't have to ask. It's the least I can do. Now each and every life, there's a basket filled with goods, although it may not be used exactly like it should. So many throw it all away or keep it for themselves, while others never use it. They just place it on a shelf. Lord, I know that what You've done for me, my basket can't repay. But maybe with it, You could feed some hungry soul along the way. Lord, here's my basket. It's not much, I know, but take it and use it. Please don't refuse it. Maybe it will grow. Although I could keep it, I'll give it to you. ask it. You don't have to ask. It's the least I can do. So, Lord, here's my basket. You don't have to ask. It's the least I can do.
It's been good, hadn't it, already, to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And I want you to take your Bibles tonight and go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And I'm going to preach tonight. The Lord just seemed to press me this matter about faith. Faith in God. I think about tonight, of course, that's the only way I know how to live. I'll be honest with you. That's the way I've lived for 42 years is by faith. And I don't have any other way. Listen, you're looking at a preacher. You're looking at a preacher that knows, what it is to live by faith. I'm talking about every day. Every day, trusting God. You say, Brother Brian, you know, what are you talking about living by faith? I saw that nice car you pulled up in it. Folks, that car was given to me. I didn't buy it. I've never had a new car in my life till a man bought it for me. You know what I'm saying? I always thought it was ridiculous to buy a new car. Amen. When you get a good used one, can I have amen? But God provided that car for me. And when I drove off the parking lot, I had 60 miles on that car. And now it's got 185,000 on it. In the last 2 or 3 years, I put that many miles. I drive everywhere. I hate flying. I just hate flying. And you say, well, Brother Brian, you get there quicker. You may get killed quicker too. Amen. I don't know, but I don't, listen, the Bible says, lo, I'm with you always. So I stay low. Amen. But this one's on, I believe. Here, got me on there. Wake up. Amen. There you go. Amen. I drive everywhere I go and I'd rather drive. Amen. 'Cause I can pray. And of course you ride with me, you'll pray too. Amen. But I pray and think and think about things and pray about things and pray for preachers, talking to preachers. I go down the road. I'm talking to preachers all the time about heartaches, needs, and things that God's put in the cross. I pastor pastors. That's what I do now. I pastor pastors. I, all over this country, I pastor pastors and encourage them and help them and give them advice. Amen. And a pastor needs that. A pastor needs that. But anyway, it's a blessing to be here tonight. I thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for God being so good to me. And I thank the Lord for your church. I thank God for your church. Y'all been blessing me already. Y'all were blessing me last year. And I love your preacher. I love your preacher. And you've got a preacher. You got a man of God. And he loves souls. He loves people. He wants the church to grow. Amen. And it has grown. It has grown. And you want it to continue to grow. Amen. Hey, a going church is a growing church. Amen. And if you're going, you're going to be growing. And that's just it. You go soul winning, it'll grow. It'll grow. God always blesses a soul winning church. He always does. But I love your preacher and his wife and his children. They're so precious. Thank God for them. Amen. And boy, his wife can cook too. Amen. And the way to a man's heart's through his belly. Amen. Can I have amen? And ladies, you girls that are trying to get a boy, that's how you do it. Cook for him. Can I have amen? Make sure he's a good cook. Amen. And, uh, And that's how I met my wife. First time I ever saw my sweetheart, first time I ever saw her, I saw her in Cracker Barrel right down the road here. I knew it was God's will then. Amen. Because I was in Cracker Barrel when we met for the first time. Amen. And I knew it was God's will. Amen. But that was the first time we ever met. And boy, I thank the Lord for a sweet wife, a good wife. And thank God for her. And I praise the Lord for her. Praise the Lord for her. She's my helpmate. She's my sweetheart. She prays for me and loves me and everything. Now, she's only slapped me one time since we've been married, which I don't think's bad. Do you? Amen. 2 years, she's only slapped me one time. And amen. And yeah, that's not bad, brother. Amen. And now, let me tell you why she slapped me, okay? Because I wrote a poem to her. I wrote a poem. It was a romantic poem. And y'all want to hear it? Y'all want to hear it? Okay. It goes like this. All right. You guys want to know, so you won't quote it. Amen. Your wife. Amen. And here it goes. I pressed a kiss upon her lips. What could I do but linger? I run my fingers through her hair, and a cootie bit me on the finger. Amen. I thought it was cute, amen. I thought it was romantic, amen. But it didn't work, brother, amen. Didn't work, but you heard about a little boy. You heard about a little boy that took his girlfriend home, and they were Christians, you know, Christian. And he took her to the front porch there, and he wanted to kiss her. And he knew Christian ought to be doing that, but he really wanted to kiss her goodnight, you know. So he thought, I'll be spiritual about this thing. And they were standing there. And he said, listen, he said, would you mind that I pray about kissing you? And the girl went, oh, that is spiritual. That is really spiritual, you know. And she said, well, of course. So he looked up in the air and he said, Lordy, Lord, up above, may I kiss the one I love. Well, what he didn't know, her brother had slipped out of the window and was up in a tree there looking down. And when he prayed that prayer, that little brother shouted down, sinner, sinner, down below, pucker up and let her go. Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. And you better watch what you pray. Amen. But I tell you, God's been good. Amen. Give me a sweet wife. And I can't wait to get home to be with her when I travel so much. And hopefully we can get by a couple more years with Bryson. Hopefully my wife will be able to travel full time with me, you know, and that'll be a blessing because she's a blessing to my ministry too, singing and you know, too, she's a blessing. God's gifted her so much and I thank God for that. Well, I tell you what, boy, it's good to be here and I thank the Lord I came when I got here tonight and before church, I went in the restroom. Shane was back in the bathroom there and he was up there wiring stuff, you know. And I said, well, I said, man, that's pretty neat, buddy. We've been praying for power, amen. And he's trying to get the power on, amen. And we wanted power in the bathroom too, amen. But I'm glad your wife got saved last night. Glad your wife got saved last night. It was a blessing. And some of you got saved and got made decisions yesterday. And praise the Lord for that. Amen. Now, I want to help you tonight. I want to be a blessing to you and help you here. And boy, I tell you, I hope, listen, if whoever was not in the preacher, whoever was not in the service last night, whether they missed church or doing other duties, I would get that CD. Did you tape that last night or record that? Did you record that? I would get that to you, every one of your people. And I preached on a willing heart last night. Amen. A willing heart. But I wanna talk to you tonight. John chapter 6. And I know we want to get rolling here because I know some of you have jobs and things, but I just want you to sit back and enjoy it tonight. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 1. And let's stand out of respect to the Word of God tonight. In verse 1, and after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for himself knew what he would do. And I like this answer. In verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworths of bread's not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Aw, like God didn't know that. Can I have an amen? That is so stupid, amen. Here Jesus is sitting there. The Bible says he is the bread, amen. He said, "I am the bread of life." He said, "I am." By the way, he created the bread. Can I have an amen? Every ingredient that went in this bread, Jesus created it. He created it. He spoke all these things in existence. And Philip tried to convince Jesus, this is not enough. You know, it's just funny to me. Amen. And verse 8, and one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." And now there was much grass in the place, so that men sat down in number about 5,000. And by the way, let me just stop here and say, that says 5,000 men. We see in other gospels there were women and children there too. So back then they believed in multiplying. They believed in multiplying. But if they only had 2 kids each family, which I believe they have more, you're looking at a wife and 2 kids, 20,000 people. So there was 20,000+ people there to be fed. But look what the Bible says in verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And this is the key verse I want you to see too. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is what they said, "This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world." Father, I come to you tonight, and I sure need your power tonight. And Lord, I don't know of anything else I'd rather be doing than standing up here preaching tonight. I know I'm dead center of God's will. Lord, I could be anywhere in the whole wide world thinking I'd want to be there, but I wouldn't but want to be there. Because, God, I know that where I'm at is where you put me. So, Lord, use me, please. I pray tonight that every heart would be open and every ear would be open. And fill me, Lord. Do something tonight in the service. And I promise you, Lord, whatever's done, you will get all the glory, because you deserve every bit of it. in your precious, holy, wonderful, magnificent name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated there. We need revival in America. Let me say that again. We need revival in America. Folks, America's in a mess. I mean, we can't even decide what bathroom we need to use. Can I have amen? Folks, let me tell you something. And I'm not going to preach on that night, but it sure would be fun preaching on it. Amen. But we're in such a mess that we don't even know. You know, and what makes me upset about this bathroom issue going on, and like I said, I'm not preaching on tonight, but what makes me upset about that thing, old Target said, we're going to pull our business out of North Carolina. I don't give a flip. Walmart's right down the road. Can I have amen? I don't give a flip, buddy. I'll go to Walmart. Amen. And I'll go somewhere like that. But the truth of the matter is America's in a mess tonight. And I never would have dreamed that we would have seen a woman like Hillary Clinton running for president. Now, if you're voting for her, you better come to altar tonight. Amen. You better come to altar tonight. Hey, did you know that North Carolina now is making Obama Christmas ornaments? I'm not kidding. That's the only way legally we can hang him. Amen. But anyway, I'll get there, man. But anyway, all right. Amen. Hey, folks, listen. I'm telling you tonight, we need revival. Can I have amen? We need revival back in America again. Now, in the churches, and I'm not talking about America, I'm talking about churches tonight. We need revival. But the truth of the matter, listen, I'm telling you, that we need all kinds of revival. We need a revival in soul winning again in our churches. We need revival again in prayer in our churches. We need a revival again tonight. Can you give me some bass or something there? I feel like I'm speaking out my nose. Amen. But I might be. Amen. We need all kinds of revival tonight. Can I have amen? But the thing about it is the true revival, though, I believe that we need tonight in something. If there's something special that we need revival back in our churches again, is this tonight. I believe we need a good old-fashioned revival and believing in God again. I said believing in God. I said having faith in God. You know, we don't have, we've lost our, we don't believe God can do it anymore. I said we don't believe God can save souls anymore. We don't believe God can shake a nation again. We don't believe, but when we get back to really believing God, I'm talking about really believing that God can do it, amen, and that God can bring revival, and God can shake a church, and God can shake a nation, that we believe God can do it, amen, then that's going to get God's attention. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about just having a good old dose of faith in God again. I mean, you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about just look, why would I go tell people about a God I don't really believe in? Why would I go talk about a God that I don't believe that answers prayer anymore? Why would I go to a God that, look here, why would I go to a God or even pray to a God that I really don't have true faith in anymore? Why would I read a book about a God that I really don't have true faith in again? You say, Brother Brian, I'm not reading my Bible like I should. I'm not praying like I should. I'm not witnessing like I should. I'm not being faithful like I should. You want me to tell you why? because you really don't believe in this God like you say you do. Because if you believe in Him, you're gonna want to tell more people about Him. If you believe that this God can answer prayer, you're gonna pray more to Him. Amen. You're gonna be closer to God tonight. So you say, Brother Brian, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say tonight that we need revival again in just believing in God. Just believing in God. What are you talking about? What the Bible tells us right here. The title of my message tonight is Food for Faith. Food for Faith. You know, some of you need to get fed, your faith to get fed again. The Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Amen. And then it goes on and says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, where are they going to hear a preacher at? At church. Can I have amen? Not Benny Chick on television. I mean, Benny Hinn. Amen. You're not going to hear good old fashioned preaching. I'll tell you what we're going to hear is in the church house tonight. But you need food. You need food to feed your faith. You need food to fuel your faith tonight. You need something to get your faith going tonight. Now, so what are some things God's going to do to build your faith? What are some things that God's going to do to build your faith? Well, let me give them to you tonight that I believe that what God wants you to do to build your faith. Are you ready? Number one, the Lord is always going to test your faith. I said, the Lord is always, bump me up just a little bit, brother. I'm straining or something in my throat here. And I preach so much that I have to have these mics just right sometimes. Amen. And, there. So y'all bear with me there. And I'll need that water, honey. Could you open it for me there? Look here. The Lord is always going to test your faith. Go to verse 5. Keep your Bibles open now. And look in verse 5. The Bible says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread? Thank you, hon. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, once again, this is Jesus speaking. Amen. This is Jesus speaking to, and by the way, Jesus knew where that bread was coming from. Can I have amen? Jesus knew exactly where that bread was coming from. But he wanted to do what? He wanted to test who? Philip. He put him to the test, didn't he? He put him to the test. He wanted to see what his answer was. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to see Philip really believe God was going to do it. He wanted to see Philip was going to do it. But look what Philip said in verse 6. And this he said to what? Prove him. He was trying to prove it. Look what he said. For he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew what he was going to do. And what he was doing, he was testing Philip. You know what he wanted to hear Philip say? He wanted to hear Philip say, I don't know where it's come from, but I know I've got a God that knows where it's coming from. Amen. And I believe in that God. I believe in that God. And you know what? That's what he was waiting for the answer to hear that. But you know what, Philip? Oh, he gave the dumbest answer in the world. Can I have amen? He gave the dumb, and we shouldn't look at it because we do the same thing. We'd say, well, Jesus, Walmart's not even around here. Amen. Or the grocery store is nowhere around. We'd give the dumbest answer too. But truth to man, listen. He told him, Phil said, 200 penny worth's not enough for this crowd. Amen. And by the way, we know every one of these people were Baptists because they were hungry. Amen. Can I have amen? Every one of them were hungry and ready to eat. Amen. But look what Jesus was testing him was testing to see what his answer going to be. He wanted to see if he would say, step up and say, well, Lord, you know what? I know one thing. I serve a God that's real. Amen. And you're real. And you are the bread. And you are the answer. And you can take care of it. Amen. But that's not what Philip said. He was looking at the material things. He was looking at the material answer. Is everybody with me? Amen. Well, let me just say this. That's why God has to test us sometimes. That's why God has to carry you through the test sometimes. That's why God's trying to carry you through problems and trials to see if you really believe God. Hey, is this thing working? Amen. Can y'all hear me tonight? Some of you look like a newborn calf in a hailstorm. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, you're looking at it like, where did he come from? Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, buddy, you know what he was doing, what God's trying to do? He's going to put you through the test that when you go through the fire and the testing, he's going to say, I know I'm going to have a rough time. We're broke and don't have this, but I know my God can answer prayer. Amen. I know my God's real, and I know he's going to get me through this trial. Amen. I mean, you know what? God's always going to put you to the test to see if you really believe God. If you really believe God, you know, I think about it, you're looking at a guy that's been through some testing in his life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I told you about, you know, the bus accident I had in Forest Hills, and man was killed and I was taken to jail for manslaughter on that Sunday. They took me to jail. They put me in jail. And God took me through all that. But you know what? Thank God all the charges dropped. But David Gibbs came and fought the case and everything with Christian Law Association and all that. He came, fought the case with and helped us. I went through that. My wife was hit by a drunk driver. I was a gospelite then. I was a gospelite right out here on 29 where Peach Orchard Road is. 29. My wife was getting ready to turn. She had been teaching at Gospel Light that day. Gospel Light Baptist Church here in Salisbury. Getting ready to make a turn. Drunk driver running 70 miles per hour hit her from behind. Pushed her on oncoming traffic. Hit, and another car running 55 miles per hour hit her head on. Carrying our first child. Ripped half her face off. I remember Jerry Whitehart and I went to where they towed the car in. Got half my wife's face out of the windshield. The doctor gave us little ice chests, and we went and took half of my wife's flesh out of the windshield. And they did a 14-hour surgery and put her face back in. And boy, she almost was killed then. And so I've been through that. We buried one of our little child babies. We buried one of my first funerals I ever preached with one of my own. You're looking at a guy that's gone through church problems. You know, I pastored church and up there, and we had a split. We went through a split at our church, and we had heartaches, and people turned on me. You know what I'm saying? But I just kept preaching and loving God, winning souls, amen, and kept telling my people God's still real, amen. God's still on the throne, amen. And God showed them faith, amen, believing God. And God just multiplied that thing back, amen. God blessed it. Hey, I know what it is to lose one of the dearest things on this earth, your wife, your mate. Amen. I mean, 28 years, you heard the story. Hey, you know what? But you know what? Here's a preacher, though, all these years later, gone through fire and trials and testing and things like that, going across the country telling people there is a God, amen, and he's real and he answers prayer and he was still on the throne, amen. Hey, you know what? That's what God wants to see in you. God wants to see when the fire comes, when the trials come, when the tough times come, you're going to keep marching for God, amen, and you're going to keep being faithful to God and keep believing God. He wants to see, he's tested you, if you're going to still believe him. Hey, look here, number two. Boy, this is good. even if it is my own preaching. Amen. Look here. Number two, God will always put you in a situation where you don't have enough. Can I have amen? God will always put you in a situation where you don't have enough. Now, as you know, they didn't have enough to feed this crowd. Amen. I mean, you're talking 20 plus thousand people. Is everybody with me? Folks, they didn't have enough to, and then all they had is two little fish sandwiches. Amen. Amen. That's all they had. Two little fish sandwiches. And they wasn't even McDonald's fish sandwiches. Amen. They were little things. They were just little things. And so look at now. So, you know, but that's where you get to believe God. That's where, look, if you got everything going for you and you got everything in the bank and everything in the pot, you know what? You won't need God. You won't believe God like you should. Can I have amen? It's when you're down to nothing that you really get to see God. You really get to see God. You get to experience God. I mean, I think about years ago when I was at Gospel Light and God had called me to go start a church in Athens, Georgia. And I went to Athens, Georgia and started a church, and all I had was that old station wagon. I remember that old station wagon. I think I told the story last year about that thing. But I remember we didn't have nothing. Man, we were broke as Job turkey. I mean, we didn't have nothing. And I remember, you know, going there and living by faith and stepping on faith. But I remember we sat down one meal. We didn't have anything, brother. All we had, listen to this, we had one large can of vegetable, not vegetable soup, but, alphabet soup. It was the Campbell's alphabet soup. We had one big can. That's all we had. I am not kidding. To feed my children and my wife, then I had four kids. I had four kids then. And I had to feed four kids and a wife and me with one can of alphabet soup. And you know what I did? Well, I never will forget my wife. She poured it in a pot, warmed it up. Then she filled that can full of water and poured it in with the soup and added it in. It was so diluted, you can't even hardly see the soup in it. Amen? It was so diluted. Well, and I remember we sat down. We all got around the table. And I said, oh, and I remember my kids and I were sitting there trying to spell our names in our bowl. We were playing the game. We were sitting there playing the game. You know, at least God gave us one with alphabets in it. Amen. That we could enjoy. And so I'll never forget. We were sitting there and we're getting ready to eat our soup. I said, now let's thank the Lord. Let's thank God for this bowl of soup. Let's thank God for. And my kids and I, we all held hands at the table. And I never will forget. I prayed and I said, Lord, I want to thank you so much for giving us soup with alphabets in it that me and my kids could enjoy just a little bit. I remember praying that to my, and I said, Lord, thank you for the food that you provided for us. We believe you, God. We trust you, Lord. And you know what? We were sitting, I said, in Jesus' name, amen. And we started slurping that soup. And it wasn't 10, 15 minutes, brother. We were sitting there. And all of a sudden, a knock came on the door. And Miss Jean was her name. I could tell you name. I could see her face. But Miss Jean lived in several mobile homes down from us. And she had these big boxes sitting on the porch with meat in it, all kinds of meat. And she said, preacher, she said, listen, I just wanted to stop by and let you know we're moving. And I saw your kids. I've seen your kids playing out in the yard. And they're so cute. Thank God for cute kids. Amen. And And she said, they're so cute. And she said, preacher, I saw those little kids sitting out there in the playing in the yard. And I told my husband, honey, we got all this meat, and it'll go bad by the time we get where we're moving to. She said, let's take them down there to that family with those kids and that preacher with them kids. And she said, so, preacher, we were just wondering, would you like to have this meat there? I said, well, we'd like to have that meat. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. There were hamburger in there. There was steak in there. There was chicken in there. There was pork chops in there. There was deer meat in there. Amen. Hey, to God be the glory. God provided. And, buddy, we got to see God. We were just toting the stuff, filled our freezer full. Couldn't even hardly get it all in. Folks, I'm telling you what, when you believe God and when you've got nothing but just keep believing God, you get to see God. Amen. You get to see God answer prayer. And as a church, you've got to get back to believing in God. Amen. And believe that God can do great things and God can do mighty things and God can shake it. Amen. And God can bring revival. Amen. And provide and do great things. But then let me say this, number three. God always uses the most least likely to get his work done. Can I have amen? Hey, you know what God did? He took that little boy. Amen. I don't even know his name. I didn't even see him in the sword of the Lord. Amen. Can I have amen? I mean, this kid, I don't even know this kid's name. I don't know who he belonged to. I don't know anything about this kid. All I know, he was just a little lad, was willing to give his lunch. Can I have amen? I mean, he was willing. That just tells me God will use anybody. God will use him. No, it wasn't well off man. Wasn't no rich man. It wasn't a Russell Anderson. Can I have amen? It wasn't a millionaire businessman. It wasn't nothing like that. It was a little boy. Amen. A little boy. God will use anybody. Amen. That just shows me, buddy, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you look like. It don't matter what you got. God will use you. Amen. You just got, and you got to go believe in God. Go believe in God. Let me say this. God wants you to give whatever you have available. I said God wants you to give whatever you have. Look in verse 9. And it says, there is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Look what it said. But what are they among so many? Now, folks, listen to me. When I was a boy, there's a lot of things that I would have given up. Is everybody with me? There's a lot of things I would have given up as a kid. You know what I'm saying? I would have given up, you know, traded. I always went to school trading stuff. And mama said, where'd you get that from? You know, I was trading stuff, everything. I was willing to give it up. But there's one thing I would not give up. I would not give up my Superman lunchbox. Can I have amen? I would not give up my Superman lunchbox. I wish I had that lunchbox today. It'd be worth some money. Amen. Hey, I would not give up. I had a little Superman lunchbox, buddy. And I would give that, buddy, you want to get on fighting ground, you try to take my lunch. Can I have amen? But you know what? That kid, I know as a kid, you ain't going to touch my lunch. Can I have amen? That's fighting grounds. Amen. But you know what? That kid, I didn't see any kid going in there or anywhere say that kid wouldn't give it up. That kid wouldn't give it up. So therefore, he must have willingly gave his what he had. Can I have amen? Hey, you know what? Until you're willing to just give and let your heart go and give, you're not going to get the... Look, don't you believe God? Can I have amen? Don't you believe God? Hey, why don't you believe God can answer prayer? Don't you believe that God can do miracles? Amen. Don't you believe that? Hey, You know what? If you're holding on to it, you don't believe that. You don't believe that. But if you're letting go and saying, God, here it is, Lord, I give it to you. I could tell you story after story after story how God did great things in my life by just giving what I had. Giving what I had. My school bill, my college bill was paid because I gave my last little money to a bus kid. To a bus kid. And God paid my school bill. You know what I'm saying? You must be willing to give and watch God do it. Then let me say this. Doubt will always creep in. Amen. Doubt will always creep in. Look in verse 9. And there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish. But look at the last part of this verse. But what are they among so many? Is everybody with me? But what are they? Hear that doubt coming in? But what are they about so many? That's doubt. Folks, let me tell you something. Preacher, there's always going to be wet blankets in your church. Some people have the gift of wet blankets. Can I have amen? And your job, as preacher gets up in the pulpit, he says, hey folks, we're gonna have a big day. We're shooting for this many in church, and we're gonna have this many on buses, and God's gonna do this. And somebody's sitting there, yeah, we've seen that before. Yeah, never will we do that. Is this thing working? Can y'all hear me? No, we're not going to get involved and do that. No way. No, we're not going to do that. Hey, is everybody with? Hey, don't be that. Don't be that. Amen. Hey, so what preacher said that can do it, we believe God can do it. Amen. If he says that can be done, then I'm going to believe God can do it. If he says we can fill this church up, I'm believing that God can do it. Amen. I believe that God can do it. Hey, folks, that's what we need. Amen. We need that. I'll never forget when I took Grand Rapids there, Emmanuel Baptist Church. Folks, it was a mess. It was a total mess when I took that church, brother. I mean, it was down to nothing, and it was in the ghettos. It was in the ghettos, brother. Your preacher knows where it was at. I'm not kidding. I used to sit in my office and look out the window and see bums climb in and out of our dumpster. I'm not kidding. They slept in our dumpster. We had tattoo shops within a rock-throwing distance from that. We had adult bookstores. We had bars. We had all that all around our church. I mean, that close. You know what we used to do on Sunday night? There was a little ice cream place right across the street from our church. It was called the Root Beer Stand. And we'd go get ice cream after church, have fellowship. We'd sit on the front porch, watch drug deals go on. That was our fellowships. How'd you like to have fellowship like that? Amen. You talking about rough? It was a rough neighborhood. We had twice in our service cars got stolen in our service. It was rough. It was rough. And I watched bums. And as a matter of fact, I won a bunch of them bums to Christ. And you know what I do on Sunday morning? I go over there, knock on the dumpster, and wake them up. Time to go to church. Time to go to church. And I'd wake them up and I'd say, listen, if you're going to sleep in my dumpster, you're going to my church. Amen. Amen. That's what I'd tell them. You're going to sleep in my dumpster, you're coming to my church. Amen. Amen. This is your rental fee. Amen. You got to go to church. And we baptized because they stunk so bad. We had to baptize them. Amen. We'd wash them. Amen. And I'm not kidding. Some of them may smell right. Amen. But bless God, God loved them. Amen. And we reached them. We knocked doors. We won people to Christ and did what we could. But what I'm saying, it was in a mess. I'm telling you, the church was in a mess. And I'll never forget, the first prayer meeting, we had a prayer meeting on a Saturday night. And I walked up, there was about 5 or 6 men there having a prayer meeting. And I said, guys, I said, listen, I was a new pastor. I said, guys, what's the most you ever had in church here? They said, well, one time we had 320-some in church. Now, I'm there, it's December. Listen, it's December, And it's cold as a mother-in-law's kiss there. Amen. It's cold. And I mean, it's snow and snowing. And I looked down and I said, well, guys, look. I said, well, then we're going to have a big day in May. In May, we're going to have a big day. And on that day, we're going to break 400 in church. You would not believe all of a sudden those men looked at me and they said, you going to do what? I said, we're going to have 400. And all of a sudden they busted out laughing. They just broke down laughing. I mean, they started laughing and said, hey, you're crazy, preacher. There's no way, no way, no way. And they were Yankees. Amen. They didn't know what to talk about. But we picked them. And I said, okay. Well, so every Saturday night we had a prayer meeting. Every Saturday night I pray, God, I'm asking you to give us over 400 in May on a big day. Well, next thing I know, all of a sudden, one or two started praying that. Amen. Well, that encouraged me. Now they're starting to believe it. Can I have amen? Now they're starting to pray about it. Amen. Now they start praying. And it started encouraging. Next thing I know, about three or four more started praying it. Amen. And started praying. Then we had new converts. They just believe God. Amen. They just believe God. Nobody's told them God's not real yet. Amen. Can I have amen? New converts, they don't care, amen. They think, you know, they're not like some of the old timers. They, God don't do that anymore, amen. Yes, he does, amen. And buddy, I'm telling you what, next thing I know, well, that big day come up, brother, and we had 460 some people in church that Sunday, amen. And I'm telling you what, many souls got saved. God bless that church. God bless them. You know why? Because we believe God, amen. We believe God. And I'm telling you, when you start believing God, you go, hey, just overrun the wet blankets. Amen. And believe God. Believe God. And then let me say this. Let me give you these real quick. Number 7, or next of all, God is always working ahead of the scene. He's getting things in order to provide. Look in verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about what? 5,000. Now look here what's taking place here. Jesus told them now, he said, what I want you to do, I want you to take all the men and I want you to set them in 50s. I didn't understand that. You know, I didn't understand that at first, but now I do. Because he knew it would be harder to feed those people at a bulk. It'd be harder to get through them. So he broke them up in 50 groups. Is everybody with me? 50, 50, 50. That way he got a little path around them. Amen? He broke them up. He knew what he was doing. But Jesus said, now guys, what I want you to do, I want you to set them down 50s. Now listen to this. These guys, these disciples obeyed. They obey, and they start sitting everybody down in 50s. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I'd be thinking, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? And sometimes you may not understand what the Lord's doing, but he's setting it up. Can I have amen? God is working ahead of the scene. He's working ahead of the scene before you can even see it. You may be sitting there scratching your head thinking, what is he doing? What is going on here? Well, let me tell you, if you believe God, God's working things out for you. Amen. God's getting ready to provide and God's getting ready to do a miracle and there. And so God is always working. Let me give you another one. Give thanks for whatever God gives you. I say give thanks for whatever God gives you. Look in verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. Look what he did. He said the blessing. Is everybody with me? Hey, look, I don't know about you, but there's one thing my mama would do to me. She would slap me away from the table. You say, what was it about? When I opened my eyes during the blessing. Can I have amen? Mama said, no peeping during the blessing. Now, I was peeping at that fried chicken, amen, hoping nobody steal it, nobody get it. But you know what, my mom, but you know, that is one blessing while the Lord was praying. I probably would have been peeping. I would have been like, what is he doing? Saying the blessing? Now, stay with me. Two fishes and five little barley loaves of fish. Two fishes and five little barley loaves of fish. And he's telling them, let's say the blessing. 20,000+ people. 20,000+ people. Let's say the blessing. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'd be looking at the Lord. Are you kidding me? Let's say the blessing. You know what God's trying to teach them? Look here. You know what God's trying to teach them? Be thankful. Be thankful for whatever God gives you. Can I have amen? Be thankful for whatever God gives you. I'm going to tell you, we live in an ungrateful generation. Ungrateful generation. And you need to be thankful for whatever God gives you. Whatever God gives you. And there. So God is trying to teach you to believe Him and live by faith here. But now I want to end it by saying this on verse 14. Look what happened in verse 14. Verse 14, then those men, what is he talking about? Hey, those men that are sitting there, by the way, those men are not, all of them are not Christians. Is everybody with me? All those men are not Christians. All those people there are not saved people. Everybody understand that? Everybody's there is not saved. Okay. And those men, the Bible says, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a what? Truth. Stay with him and I'm going to end on this. You know, how in the world is the world going to ever see the truth when they don't see you believe the truth? When's the last time? And don't take this wrong, but I'm afraid our Baptist churches are full of Christian atheists. You say, wait, that's kind of bold, preacher. Yes, sir. That's exactly right. What I'm trying to say, when's the last time us as Christians, we just went out there and said, let me tell you what God did. Amen. Let me tell you how God, when's the last time you went to work and you just walked in and said, let me tell you what God did at my church. Amen. Let me tell you how God saved sinners yesterday. Let me tell you how God moved in our church. Let me tell you how God answered prayer in my life. Let me tell you what God did. Amen. Or did you go to work like, Oh no, man, I don't want to be here, man. I tell you, I have it so rough, man. How you doing, buddy? 2 hours later, you're still telling us, amen. It's terrible, amen. Poor Jesus, amen. He can't do it, amen. Can I have amen? That's the average Christian today. That's what we see in Christians today. There's no belief in God. Amen. We don't believe that God can do it. We don't believe God can answer a prayer. I'm telling you, no wonder the world doesn't want what we got. Amen. All they see is problems, and all they see is us worried about problems, and God can't answer prayer. God can answer prayer. God can do it. Amen. God can answer the prayer and do great and mighty things in our life. And boy, when the world sees, you know why that revival is going on down there in Burlington? Because they're seeing God do something. Amen. They're seeing God. And you know why? And I thought it was 10 years. It was 15 years. They've been praying and believing God. Hey, folks, I'm telling you, can you imagine 15 years every Monday night, meeting together, praying that God would do something? Don't you know there are some Monday nights they wonder, is this worth it? Is this worth it? Amen. Is this worth God? Hey, I bet you they believe it now. Can I have amen? I bet you they believe it now. And buddy, that's the reason why we're not seeing revival in our churches, because we don't believe God can do it. We don't believe God can answer prayer. We don't believe God can save sinners. Amen. And break the hardest heart. I share this story with you. My wife, when she was found out, I got that phone call on a Thursday night that I was getting ready to go soul winning, that she had cancer. And I remember when we got a phone call, or they told us, now you need to go, we're going to assign an oncologist to you and, you know, tell you what you got to go through now, the preliminary stuff, and get ready to go through chemo and all this stuff. Well, we met with a doctor. His name was Dr. Brady. His name was Dr. Brady. And Dr. Brady was a good-looking young doctor from Lebanon. He was from Lebanon. And you talk about good look. He looked like a model, kind of like me. But anyway, I'm a broken down model. Amen. Model T. Amen. Don't laugh, honey. But anyway, but he was good looking, brother. I'm telling you. Oh my God. My daughter loved him. She wanted to marry him. My wife wanted to marry him. Amen. That's what's so bad. Amen. He was just a good looking young guy, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, the first day we're in there, he's telling us all the preliminary stuff and all the things we're going to be going through and all that. Well, when we got done, I looked at him. I said, Doc, I said, listen, I said, before we go, I said, I'd like to ask you a question. I'd like to ask you a very important question. I said, we're Christians. I said, now I'm a preacher. I'm a Baptist preacher, but first of all, I'm a Christian. And I said, I'd like to ask you a question. If you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Well, he looked at me when I said that, and all of a sudden anger started build. I could see the look in his face. He didn't like that question. So he looked at me. He said, let me tell you something right now. I mean, anger, kind of mean about it. He said, let me tell you something right now. He said, I'm going to do everything I can to save your wife's life. But let me just tell you, don't ever again talk to me about God or religion, because I don't believe in either one. I said, oh, okay. So I didn't. I didn't talk to him no more about it. I talked to God. Amen. And my wife and I began to pray every day for Dr. Brady that he would get saved. We prayed every day. Well, many of you heard the story of my wife and all she went through for two and a half years of a nightmare. You know what I'm saying? Just a nightmare, a journey of cancer. And one day he called me. This has been about a year and a half now has passed. And he called me. He said, preacher, he said, listen, I need y'all to come in on Monday. We're going to do blood work. And then the following Monday, you come back. We'll give you the results of the test. And then 2 days after that, I'm going to fly to Lebanon and see my mama and grandma. I haven't seen them in 10 years. I said, you haven't seen your mama and grandma in 10 years? His daddy was dead. He said, no, I haven't seen 10 years. I've been in medical school and studying and practicing and everything. And he said, I haven't seen my mom and grandma in 10 years in Lebanon. He said, so I'm going. I said, well, you should. Well, we went in, did the blood work. But during that week, I began to pray. I said, Holy Spirit, what would you have me to do to send a gift to his mama and grandma to thank them for trying to save my wife's life and allowing their son and grandson to come to America to try to save my wife's life. And the Holy Spirit put on my heart to buy them a Bible in their language, Arabic language. It was Arabic language. I found, called there in Lansing and the Bible publishing there in Lansing, and they, uh, uh, They told me Colorado Springs had the best Bible that was translated from about the old King James in Arabic language to get that one. One page was in English. Look here. One page was in English. One page was in Arabic language. $60 a piece. I ordered three of them. $60 a piece. Nice leather bound. $60 a piece. I ordered three of them. Well, I wrote in the front of his grandma and his mama's Bible, I wrote a note, a kind note to them, thanking them for allowing their son, grandson, to come to America to try to save my wife's life. The next Monday, we got there to get the results of the test, and he's leaving 2 days after that to go to Lebanon. The test results were terrible. They were bad. And he felt bad about it, you could tell. Well, when he got done telling us everything, he said, now I'm going to be leaving in a couple of days and I'm going to Lebanon, but I'll be on the computer, you know, internet stuff, and I can tell how Bonnie's doing through results and stuff. I'll only be gone a week or two and I'll be back. I said, okay, Doc. I said, Doc, before you go, I'd like to give you something to take to your mama and grandma. He looked at me and I reached in the bag. And I pulled out one of those Bibles. And he looked at that Bible and he said, what is that? What is that? And this is what I said. The very word. My wife's sitting there. My daughter's sitting there. And I looked at him and I said, this is a book that proves that God is real. Well, he looked at me and he said, say that again. Say it again. And I said, yes, sir. I said, this is a book that proves that God's real. And no sooner than I got that out of my mouth, he looked at me. He said, let me tell you something. I thought, oh boy, here we go. He said, let me tell you something. He said, y'all are the weirdest people I've ever met in my life. He said, you are the weirdest people I've ever met in my life. Because for the last 2 years, all I've seen, and I've seen your wife go through all this pain, all this agony, all this stuff she's gone through, and every time I go to hospital, I can't hardly get in a room because y'all winning people to your God and telling, praying with people, and we were having Bible studies all across the University of Michigan, the hospital. You'd hear them announce on a lost liberal university hospital. You'd hear them announce across there, Pastor Bryant's having his Bible study in room so and so, amen. And I was having Bible studies and we had won 179 people got saved. I mean, doctors and nurses and people, even some of them now are telling other people about Jesus now that God was moving. God was using us. And he'd come, he said, I'd come to the hallway and I'd be bringing bad news and there y'all are in the hallway holding people, praying with them. And he said, so I started searching for your God. He stopped all of a sudden. He said, I started searching for your God. And he said, let me tell you what I did. He said, I went to Barnes and Noble's bookstore and bought a book on God. Folks, let me tell you something. If you want to know more about God, don't go to Barnes and Noble's bookstore. Amen. Because this book was denying God. Now, he's telling me this. He said, I read the book, and on Thursday, before that Monday, we're sitting there. Okay? On Thursday, before that Monday, we're sitting there. I mean, he said, I called my mama. And I got in an argument with my mama. She's Roman Catholic, but she believed there was a God. And he said, I told my mama, me and my mama got in an argument, and my mama said, son, you need to throw that book away because there is a God. And so I got mad at my mama, and I cut her off the phone. And I looked up in the sky, and I pointed towards God. Now, he's telling me this. And I pointed towards God and said, okay, God, if you're real, give me a book that proves you're real. And 3 days later, 4 days later, the first words that came out of my mouth said, Doc, this is a book that proves that God's real. And tears began to well up in that doctor's eyes. He said, I want to know your God. And I took, brother, I took that Bible, buddy, and I went down the English part of it, and he went down the Arabic language part of it, and I walked him down the plan of salvation, buddy, and that doctor got down on his knees, and got saved, amen, and got saved in there. Hey, you know why? Because he saw somebody that believed God through the hard times and the testings. They just believed God. Believe God. My wife was sitting there. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. It looked like somebody took a ball bat and had beat my wife because of her blood cancer. Her face was purple, blue, bruised. She lost her hair. She had purple legs. I'm not kidding. Her legs looked purple. Her blood was like Vaseline almost, it looked like. But my wife, look here, with tears streaming down that bruised face, I'll never forget seeing this. That them tears streaming down my wife's face, she looked at that doctor, listen to this. She said, Doctor Brady, and tears were streaming down her face. She said, see my body? See how my body is? See what cancer's done to my body? She said, I want to tell you, every pain I've gone through, every shot I've gone through, she said, it's worth it for you to get saved, amen, for you to get saved. I'm telling you, buddy, that's what that doctor's saying. He saw somebody that believed God, amen, and that's what we need tonight. We need some Christians to quit down God and get back to just believing God. Amen. And believe that God can do it. And believe that God can save your loved ones. And believe that God can save sinners. And believe that God can shake this nation. And believe that God can shake this town with revival. We need to get back to just believing in God again. Amen. Boy, I beg you tonight. Why don't you decide tonight? Lord, forgive my unbelief. Forgive my unbelief. Amen. There's some of you sitting here tonight. You don't believe anymore. You don't believe that God can do what He said He can do. But folks, why don't you hit this altar tonight and say, God, I believe You. I'm going to ask my wife to come tonight to the piano tonight. And I'm going to ask you tonight, would you stand to your feet and would you